How can you unstick your mind? How can faith, or can faith, help you grow in mental resistance or resilience, rather? That is what we are talking about today. This is the Embodied Faith Podcast, and we are Sid and Jeff Holzbach, and we're helping you grow in through a science-informed or a neuroscience-informed spiritual formation. And as always, we are produced by Grassroots Christianity, which is seeking to grow faith for everyday people. We are excited to have Mamika Cooney in today to join with us. She is an author, a speaker, a coach. She empowers Christians to rewire their brains by combining neuroscience, positive psychology, and a faith-based approach. And she'll be talking a little bit about her soon-to-be-released book, Unstick Your Mind, Shift Your Mindset, Develop Grit, and Break Barriers. And let's get her in. There you are. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I love these opportunities and I love live. It's so exciting because it's right and real and we can have feedback from people who are watching. So I'm super excited to chat to you guys today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're really excited too. So why don't we just jump right in? And I know, as I was saying before, and I was like, you and Sid probably have lots to talk about, but I'd love to hear your sense of, like, you're talking about how can we unstick our minds? Like, what, how does our mind get stuck? Like, what do you mean by that? Like, when we get stuck?
Well, getting stuck is a very interesting concept. And the way I love to describe it is, if you think about life as a journey, enjoy the ride. You all heard that cliche, right? Well, really, life is a journey. And if you think about how in your car, like, I don't necessarily am into cars, but I love the fact that it's a great metaphor for how we go through life. But sometimes what happens, like just with us vehicle owners, if we don't fill it up with gas, or if we push too hard, or if we don't take a rest stop and, you know, get some new oils and rotate the tires, eventually we will crash and burn and we get stuck on the side of the road. And I do not advise that. And the reason why, my story is, I come from that. I'm the first to admit I'm a recovering perfectionist and people pleaser. And since I gave up my membership to Control Freaks Anonymous, I can tell you I am so much happier. But the whole concept of being stuck is really, your mind is really in the driver's seat of your life. And the way we think about things is super important. And we know in God's word, he says, you know, in Romans 12:2, renew your mind daily. So just like we have to daily take care of ourselves, we have to daily eat, we have to daily shower, we have to fill up the car. There's self-care and it's maintenance. But we kind of lost the plot somewhere along the line. So we, some of us in this hustle culture, again, I'll be the admit to say I was the same. You know, just think, by putting our foot on the gas pedal and just going 100 miles an hour down the highway is going to get us there quicker. But it comes with a cost, right? So yeah. I just hope today we can unpack this concept of, even though you might be watching and listening and thinking, you know, I'm stuck, I don't know where to go, I can't go forward, I can't go back. Really what they say, if you've ever had been stuck in the mud or in a snowstorm or on the side of the road, the worst thing you can do is add more gas, right? You're just going to fling a whole lot of mud and make a whole lot of mess. So we need to look at what's going on under the hood of the car. We might need to do some rewiring and go back into figuring out maybe things are not working at their optimal. And this is a very unusual concept for people. And I talk about this a lot, but we definitely need to slow down to speed up. So hopefully we can dive a little bit more into that today.
Yeah, I love here. First of all, it's a great analogy with the car. I think that's a practical way for people to understand what you're talking about. And it makes a lot of sense then, right? That speeding up doesn't make it any better, like throwing more gas on it. How did you personally experience stuckness? And how have you learned, you know, to rewire your brain? And you know, what got you to this place that inspired you to write this book of how to unstick your mind?
Well, my whole concept of talking about this is because I've experienced it the hard way. Now, I come from a background of an entrepreneurial background. My father was a serial entrepreneur. All I knew to do was be in business from the age of 16. And I was just taught and raised in this environment that's just hustle, hustle, grind, grind, right? Perfectionism, people pleasing, all the things that we think are going to get us there sooner. Now, I've been an entrepreneur and had four different businesses. My husband and I met and married in South Africa, where I'm from, hence the accent. We lived in England for 5 years and we started businesses there. And then we moved again 5 years later to the USA, and we've been here since 2006. And in that process, I never gave myself a chance to breathe. I had three babies in three continents, had three businesses, and just thought I was a never-ending, you know, nuclear power station until myself, until I fell apart and broke down emotionally, physically, mentally. And it really came to a core where I didn't realize I had been in denial for years. I didn't want to see the signs. I just thought more gas and hustle down the highway was going to help. The slowdown signs I ignored, the rest stop signs I ignored, until eventually it was a trifecta effect. In about 2015, I had a business launch that didn't go so well. I had a child in the mental health crisis. And then I had my mother-in-law, who was a strong woman of faith, who really taught me a lot in life. She passed away from cancer. And talk about, you know, every area of your life falling apart all at the same time was a huge, giant wake-up call, hitting the wall. And I had experienced grief like I had never experienced it before. You know, when you feel like your whole body aches and that's the whole really ugly snot cry, like, oh, I can't hold a conversation. Like, my mom and my sister live in England and I couldn't even be on the phone with them. I was just besides myself. And I'd realized I'd come to the end of my rope. But it was only then that God was like, okay, are you ready to listen now? Because I have a habit. God and I have this great relationship. Okay, I'm very chatty. I'm sure you can tell. Back in the day, he would say, I want you to do this. And I'd be like, oh, really? Okay, so how are we going to get there? Should we go here or should we take this detour here? And he says, just enjoy the journey. I'm like, are you sure you know where we're going? Because I see there's a place we can do this thing. And maybe we like, and eventually he's like, you are the worst backseat driver ever. Like, hello. If you're going to give me the reins to your life, then how about you take your sticky fingers off the driver's seat and off the steering wheel? But he had to peel them off of me, and he had to wait. And God, in his graciousness, is a gentleman. He's never going to push you to do things you don't want to do. He's going to wait until you ask permission, give him permission, and humble yourself to say, okay, God, I need you. I'm a hot mess. So suffice to say, that's where I got to, a place where I literally could not move physically, emotionally, spiritually, where God's like, he got my attention. And it had been just a crazy whirlwind of just almost being in the swirl of just believing the things I thought were true, realizing that I was believing a lot of lies, because I hadn't been presented. I hadn't been given a mirror to say, hey, you need to look at where you're at. And I distinctly remember one of, you know, very audible voice where God said, it's time to be healed, to be well and to be healed. And I was like, oh, I didn't know things were broken. And I was like, well, there's the first indicator that something's up, right? Is this denial and having to stop and slow down and actually look at myself, you know, objectively. Like, I'm very strategic in my mind because I, you know, that's what I did in my business. I'd been a marketing branding strategist. So for me, I'm always looking to fix things. But sometimes it gets to a stage where you can't actually physically do anymore. You come to the end, your gas tank is empty, and you literally just have to throw your hands up and in surrender and say, God, I totally give in. And it's only then that things started to shift, when I was really, you know, made that intentional decision to stop and to really think about where I wanted to go, instead of feeling like I was just a victim of circumstance. So, and it's a hard place to be, because I'll admit, I had a lot of pride. I didn't want to share my air my junk in the trunk with what was happening in the past, and like letting people know, because of course the whole veneer was everything's perfect, everything's fabulous, but everything ain't fabulous. And I think the more honest we can be with ourselves and with everyone else, I'm not to say you have to tell everyone your dirty secrets. Okay. God knows that already. But I think he knows, he wants to bring us to the mirror and to say, are you willing to look at them? Are you willing to address them? Are you willing to let them go? Because we cannot keep going forward with where we're at. And just like if you've ever had a bunch of crazy toddlers or kids in the back seat that keep asking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? They're going to drive you absolutely crazy. So sometimes you need to hush the kids in the back seat. Plus, you need to ditch the junk in the trunk that's weighing us down, because we have forgotten that every time we've had a hurt or a rejection or a traumatic something, because all of us have some kind of trauma in life at different levels of it. If we don't ditch it, it's going to keep following us around. And I think that is why I'm so passionate about intersecting where talking about, you know, yes, come to Jesus and he'll save you. But there's also work to be done. We can't be lazy Christians. We can't just expect that go to church on Sunday and everything's just going to be fine. We have a soul, which, you know, this is also part of our mind, our will and emotions that need work. Like, you ain't going to get fit just by wishing. We have to do work. And I think that's what's got me excited about the amalgamation of looking at the brain, how God made us, how neuroscience is finally catching up to the Bible, about renewing our mind, and that it's a daily practice, and how it's possible. So if anyone's listening and thinks, oh, well, that's good for her, but not for me, listen, if I could fix myself with God's help, so can you. So, and the good thing is you can press a button today and reset everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So can you say a little bit more about how practically you ended up being able to look in the mirror and do that practical work? Like, did you do that alone? Did you have someone doing that with you? How did you engage in that work?
Well, you know, I've been very self-determined and self-reliant for a lot of years, but that was part of the problem. Is my biggest issue was I didn't know how to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And when I got to that stage, I'd realized I had come to the end of what I could do for myself, which is why I have a problem with the word self-help, because there's limits to self. Mm-hmm. And it's really when God was very clear with me, he says, you need to ask for help. And I was like, what? Really? Like, how are we going to do this? Like, this is uncomfortable. But it was really part, and I really believe all of us, even if you look at some of the characters in the Bible, like David, we all go through a humbling season. And to me, my humbling season was closing my business down, taking time to rest and journaling. Now, through my journaling process, I have always been since I was a kid, dear diary, you won't believe what Susie said to me at school today. You know, so dramatic. But what I had realized, I just really had to take my foot off the gas. I closed my business down. I didn't want to deal with any responsibilities other than family. And really, God said to me, you need to do things for others to take your mind off yourself. And for 18 months, I actually went and volunteered at Elevation Church, which is down the road from me, because I have a TV production background. And I was in the background doing running cables, making coffee and tea, and with a 23-year-old manager who was telling me what to do. Talk about the humbling season. Like, nobody didn't tell anybody who I was, what I'd done, where it came from. I was just an anonymous person who was there to serve. Mm. And through that process, God was teaching me humility, because remember, the pride was a huge issue. He's like, we got to knock this out of you. And I, you know, sitting under the word three times a weekend, because I was there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. First of all, it was exhausting, but it was a great experience because it took me out from having my own little pity party at home where no one else was invited to actually going into public and saying, I'm going to do something beyond what I could do. So being in the Word every week, journaling my thoughts, writing things down, asking for help. Like, I sought out the help of a Christian counselor. And, because at the same time, I was also dealing with a child in a mental health crisis and just trying to figure out what is the psychology of this? You know, like, what are the tools? And to me, I'm just always looking for learning new ways. And through that process, God was training me. And the Holy Spirit was teaching me, and he was showing me things like YouTube videos, podcasts, books. But because I said to myself, it's time just to rest, the amount of work and growth and progress I did in 1 year was able to really help me move forward through the 40 years of crazy. And I think that's the process, is, you know, not being too proud to ask for help. And also there was an element of shame, telling people, like, I'm having an issue. Because before I would be like, and also because I've been in leadership for a long time and dealing with leaders, and leaders don't like to share their, you know, what's actually going on, because everyone's relying on them to have it together, to lead, right? But who's supporting the leaders? Who's feeding the leaders? And I found it very lonely and hard to find, you know, that support I needed. But I'd realized I just had to be willing to put myself out there, be humble enough to accept. So even the things that I had learned in business, you know, God was like, be prepared to be challenged. Some of the things you learned aren't really true. Maybe we need to refix the way you think about things.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So about the, about that changing, you talk about, changing your life by changing your brain, which I really like, definitely like that. So, but that's more than just like changing our thoughts, right? So what does it mean to change your brain? Like, when you speak about that or think about that, how does changing your life connect to changing your physical brain, I guess, your gray matter?
Yeah, well, I love to call it changing your life by changing your mind, because sometimes you have to change the way you look at things, and you have to be willing to say, maybe what I've believed isn't the truth. Is this truth or lie? And I say, you know, again, we need the mirror to say, are you believing truth or is this lies? Because we are taught things throughout our life, you know, whether it's childhood or environment, people and peers we've been around, we pick up beliefs and values. And that's really what drives us as humans, is you will live your life and make decisions according to your values, beliefs. And sometimes we're not willing to challenge that. So, and how you do that is you allow yourself to question, am I thinking this correctly? And this really comes down to, and the concept of rewiring your brain is also based on the concept of neuroplasticity, which really is good news, because it means you can change your brain. I mean, the old way of looking at things was you just stuck with what you have. Like if you've been through trauma, you can never be healed. And that sort of lie has been debunked now by a lot of the research and neuroscience, and it's a lot of stuff is always coming out, that the brain is so malleable. You can change habits, you can change thought patterns, but it requires effort and training. It isn't a quick fix where it just happens overnight. It has to be intentional thought creation, intentional habit creation, intentional being, right? Just changing and being willing to say, hold on, I have a problem. I want to be able to fix this. And I come from a sports psychology background, and I, you know, did classical ballet training, and I'm also an adult figure skater now. And I only learned this in my 30s. Okay, I am proof you can teach an old dog new tricks. But it really took a lot of work, because my muscle memory would immediately be from a ballet stance. Right now, sometimes when something works for us, you put us in a new environment, and those skills do not apply. And you have to be willing to override that. And it comes with consistency and repetition. You just have to relearn and relearn. So just think of yourself like the rudder of a ship, a huge, big liner. You think, how am I going to change this thing's direction? And it has a tiny little part, a little rudder, but you do it in degrees. So a little degree here, a little degree here. And eventually you look months or years down the line, right, and you're in a totally different place than when you started. But unless you're willing to make those small incremental little moves and degree changes, you're not going to be able to make the big changes. And I think that's what, you know, modern society has perpetuated, is this overnight success. Just do this one little hack and this one little strategy, and all of a sudden you're, you know, buy this and you'll get this for free. And, you know, like, hello, life is not a QVC channel. We have to understand that things take time. And if we look at God and we look at how he's created our environment, there are seasons, right? Mm. You can't expect to always be in a harvest summer season. There are going to be winter seasons too, where it feels like nothing's happening. The seed is growing and germinating, but we can't see any evidence. And sometimes it's those hard, dark, cold wilderness seasons that are actually going to produce the most fruit. So I call, you know, my time in self-imposed exile was my wilderness season, where I had to really get stripped of all the old mindsets, beliefs, patterns, things I valued, like thinking that my self-worth was from what I was doing instead of just being a human being. It's a bit of a mindset shift. So really the good news is that we can change our brain by using these intentional thought creations and habits and training. Yeah. That's the good news, is there's always a reset, and today's a great day to start.
I love that.
Can you say, so the title of your book, right, is Unstick Your Mind, Shift Your Mindset, and I got to look at it again, Shift Your Mindset, Develop Grit, and Break Barriers. Could you say a little bit about what you mean by each of those three things in your subtitle?
Definitely. Well, the whole concept of, you know, getting unstuck mentally really involves different phases. So shifting your mindset is really a part of the awareness key. Like, you don't know what you don't know, and those are called blind spots. So unless we are able to look at ourselves in the mirror objectively and say, okay, we've got some work to do. So we need to shift the way we think about life, how we think about prosperity, how we think about success. What does abundance mean? What does happiness mean? All those things. And then the idea that once you decide this is the direction I want to go, and I'm going to believe what God says about me, not the training or the wiring that I've had as a kid, that I am worth it, I am worthy, and I am loved. These are the kind of things we have to remind ourselves. It takes effort, right? And then the grit is, are you willing to see it through? Are you really, it's like going to the gym. You can't go to the gym and weigh and lift 100 pounds of weight. it'll hurt yourself. You have to have the grit and the endurance and the resilience to see things through to completion. And then, of course, once you've realized that anything can be achieved, once you've shifted that mindset, done the work, got the habits, you are able then to then shift yourself. And I talk about this in the book, which I love this analogy, the difference between chickens and eagles. Too many of us stay in the chicken coop with all the chickens freaking out about the little seed and pick, 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 and then, you know, getting on each other and picking each other and getting into a whole hot mess, which is not necessary. But what happens if you adopt a mindset of an eagle? You rise above, you get perspective, you start to realize that little itty bitty seed thing that you were worried about is really not that important in the great scheme of things. Mm-hmm. And getting that resilience and that perspective allows you to say, no matter what comes at me, I am going to find joy. And just like the Bible says, you know, that it creates endurance and strength of character that eventually that the storms will come. They don't go away. But we have the tools, we have the mental and physical and emotional and spiritual strength to endure them and just to stay neutral and calm and balanced because we've done the work and we're not allowing ourselves to get, you know, taken by the wind and up and down in emotional things. Don't be a chicken, be an eagle.
That's great. I love what you're talking about with shifting your mind, changing, you know, making different choices, making decisions, carrying through with belief. I just wonder, I know there's a lot of people in our audience, including myself, who have gone through seasons where it feels impossible to think differently just because of, you know, embedded trauma or implicit thoughts that you're stuck in. So how would you say to those people who feel like I've tried changing my mind and I just can't stop thinking these thoughts? I can't stop thinking in this pattern. It just keeps going. What would you say to those folks?
Well, all of us have gone through some kind of, pain or trauma. And obviously there's different levels. Now we will say those who are having debilitating levels of trauma, we do advise they get, you know, psychological and psychiatric help. But right. Really what I want to talk about is, you know, in terms of if you feel like you are in this cycle and you've got this tape on your head on repeat that keeps saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. Really there's a concept of changing your can'ts into cans. And this really is about, number one, taking that thought captive. When that thought pops up in your head, having the mirror to say, is this the truth or is this a lie? And challenging your own thoughts, not just accepting it like it being a trash can of letting the trash just keep dumping in you. It's to realize you have more agency and control over your thoughts than you actually think. Thoughts are not just random things that, you know, you can just accept by default. Mm-hmm. You get to decide, you know, like, okay, even though I've had this or experience, and I also come from a traumatic background, so I'm talking from experience, is that you have to decide what you want. And this is where intentionality comes from. All of us as human beings have the opportunity to think and dream beyond where we are, but not many people do. We ask why. Why is that? It's because we haven't really seen proof of what could be. But as people of faith, isn't that the whole reason we have faith is to believe in things we don't see yet. If we want proof for everything, you know, why would we need faith? So in almost, you need to shift and put yourself in the future and start thinking, where do I actually want to be? If you took the lid off your potential and you just said, if there were limitless opportunities, I talk about this in the book as well, about thinking of, you know, you have a jar, like a mason jar, like my daughter loves to catch fireflies during the summer. And, you know, when you have them in the jar, it's great. You can look at them, but that's not really where they thrive the most. And you think about how much can you contain in a jar? Well, that's a certain limited capacity, but what if you just left the jar open? You know, how much sand or, you know, you just keep pouring and pouring. And eventually what happens is when you are full, you then pour into others, right? So having that visual of I can be more than what I'm seeing right now, And people do who are stuck find it hard to dream because we've almost switched off that way of thinking. Because if as a kid, when they handed you a set of crayons when you were 2, 3, 4, or 5, you didn't question what to do. You just started trying. Okay, not every one of us is Picasso at 5, but the fact is you didn't have that limitation on I can't. I'm not an artist, so I'm not even going to try draw with crayons. You're like, okay, this is cool. Let's try this. We just knew that there was an opportunity to learn, right? But as adults, we've lost that. We've lost that faith in creativity and allowing ourselves to try things that maybe we don't know we could be good at, or at least think about opportunities that maybe haven't presented themselves because we haven't really experienced it. But what if we could just say, what is my heart telling me to do? Because I firmly believe that God implants in us, he talks about, fulfilling the desires of our heart. But so many of us through life and trauma and experiences get given this message that you're not good enough, you're not worthy, don't even think about it. Who do you think, and we have to remember, where is that input coming from? It's trying to silence the voice of our heart that's saying, you can do this, you have a desire for that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to believe what's currently in front of you. And I just think it's just encouraging everybody that no matter where you are right now, no matter where you've been, there is always possibility, but you get to decide whether you step into it or not.
Yeah.
Because we're all free.
Which brings up another place. I know in the work that I do with people one-on-one, I run into a lot of people and, I've been here myself too, of running into a place of like, I don't really trust myself. Like, I don't trust that I can discern truth from non-truth. I don't trust that I can make good decisions for myself, because of the experience and the life story that they carry. So how would you speak into that, not willing? You say you can decide, you can do something different, you can change, but what if there's a fundamental lack of trust in yourself?
Well, trust is one of those issues that a lot of us can deal with on a daily basis because of what we've experienced in life. But here's the thing, if you want to have, like, for instance, if let's look at whether it's gold or money, like there's often counterfeits, right? But how does a person who's able to tell the difference between the counterfeit and the real is they study the real. They don't spend all their time focusing on the negative and this is what a counterfeit bill looks like. They spend their time focusing on what the real authentic thing looks like. So in our case, is if you have been focusing on the negative news and you've been focusing and listening to the negative thoughts in your head, you need to shift the channel. You need to start focusing on what God says about you. So, and this is what God took me through too. I tell you, for me, somebody who is a recovering perfectionist and not having it all together and having to admit that I had to bring myself to a level of just admitting the things I needed to admit, started with God challenging me and saying, every day in the morning, I want you to look in the mirror and say, I'm loved. I'm chosen. I'm God's. And I was like, I'd start with, I'm loved, I'm chosen. Okay. He's like, do it again. I'm loved, I'm chosen. And then eventually he'd be like, I'm loved, I'm chosen. Because I've said it so many times, I've now retold my brain that this is the new me. It felt super lame at first, believe me. It feels weird because it's not what you used to. But I want to focus on the real. I want to focus on the authentic. And I'm going to go to what God's word says. Every time that thought tries to come and tell me, oh, who do you think you are to think that? Who do you think you are to dream that big? I'm getting like, oh, okay, hold on. Let me find the truth. God says this about me. So if Jesus could do that when he was challenged in the wilderness and when Satan tried to challenge him with negative thoughts, what did he do? He said, it is written. Present him with the evidence and say, it is written. God has already said I'm loved. God has already said I'm chosen. And by speaking it, because your brain is going to hear what comes out your mouth. So also the power of words is important. Right. You are going to rewire your brain through repetition and doing things that are focused on the good, focused on the truth. And eventually, like a good training program, you would have moved yourself in degrees and shifts because you've now changed the way you think, the way you speak, and the way you do life.
Yeah. Amen. So you're releasing this book soon. Can you tell people where they can get it? And then can you share where people can find you at online?
Definitely. Well, you can get a copy of the book. Like I finally got my printed galley copy. It's from my printer. You can go on Amazon. You can find Unstick Your Mind. If you look up my name, Mimika Cooney, and I'll spell it for our audio listeners. It's Mimika Cooney. And you can find me all over social media as well. But the best place to find resources is to find me at my website, which is mimikacooney.com. And I have all the links to buy the book. So even if you're not in the USA, you can get the links to buy on different platforms. But primarily now, while we are in pre-launch season, it would be I'd be so grateful if you went and bought the ebook copy to help us get the book out there. Because I really believe the world needs this message to know that, God has made us and designed us to be able to do the things we do. We are not stuck with the brain we have, with the faith and doing the work. And the humility to do it, we can do that. So I definitely encourage everyone. And I do have free resources. I have a little guide called Eight Tips to Supercharge Your Mindset at mimikacooney.com. And I also have my own YouTube channel, Mimika Cooney, and I regularly put out videos on mindsets and encouraging things. So come and look me up there.
Excellent. And if you didn't get that, if you're listening or watching and didn't get all that, if you go on YouTube or if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple or wherever, I'll have all those links in the show notes. So you should be able to just hit those links right on your phone right now. But thank you so much for taking some time, Mamika, and joining us. And we hope that your book launches successfully. And I'm excited for the next step. I know, like, launching a book is like, you know, we've published books too. And it's just like, oh, like, we finished writing that so long ago. We're on to another thing. But now you have to launch this thing. It's also back and forth. So, but I'm sure you're on to new and amazing things. So we will we'll put all that. And thanks again. And we will get back to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Over my website, my cursor here. She's like, so. All right, so long.